Yeah, g'day, mate. You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
I am currently joined by Kieran Naylor. We're going to do a little bit of an intro thing here. We've got Kieran in the house, in the heezy. Go. There we go. And we've got Kieran Naylor in the house.
What's up, man?
What's up, my G?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Yeah, I'm chilling. I got, like, good steez today.
Thank you.
You got a little, is that a, not Lacoste, polo?
Yeah, it's a Ralph Lauren. I bought this from Hellenstein's.
From Hellenstein's?
Yeah.
Oh, when they were doing their vintage
thing? They did their vintage stuff, and I spent like $50 on it. It's way too much to spend on a Ralph Lauren shirt.
Yeah, it is, eh? Because you can go to places like Pep Bag Princess.
Yeah.
Or just a random
Static
op shop.
Age, yeah.
Static Age. Yeah, yeah. Big ups to Static Age. Yeah, and you got some cool gold frame glasses there. Very steez.
What can I say?
I'm a fashion guy. Yay. Now, I want to know, Kieran, we're here to talk about the upcoming Polytech fashion kind of end of year show.
Yeah.
But before we get to that, who are you maining on Smash right now?
It's been a while for me too. It's been a long time, but I mean, Fox was my go-to all the time.
He's such a horrible character.
He's such a horrible character to play against and learn, but I remember getting way too deep into that.
Yeah, when you just like hit opponents to like 80% and then do the backflip and then they always die.
Yeah.
Oh,
awesome.
Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, fair enough. I haven't played in ages, but last time I did, I was playing some Pac-Man.
Pac-Man, yeah.
Yeah.
He's another one that's...
He's nasty. But I feel like Pac-Man also is a little bit more planned in a way. He's kind of like Steve in that regard. You know, I like Steve a lot.
Strategy.
Yeah. We're talking strategy here. No, but the Smash chat's over.
Smash segment over.
We're going to talk about the upcoming Polytech interview fashion show, as alluded to before. I want to know, is there a minimum amount of pieces that you got to make for the fashion show?
So, yeah, it features our Year 3 graduate collection, and that is a minimum... Usually, there is some flexibility as to what you can make, but it's a minimum of 5 outfits usually, so that's kind of, I mean, technically a minimum of 5 pieces, but for menswear, which I did, it's like 2 or 3 pieces an outfit, so I think I ended up doing 15 garments, yeah.
Over the course of, what's this, February?
No, this is since July, August.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
wow.
So this is like our second semester project.
Jeez.
And we had another one in the first half of the year.
Jeepers. 5 outfits in what, like 5 months?
3 months.
3 months?
3 kind of 4, yeah.
Damn, son. Were you just in the studio all the time?
I was living there, yeah.
Does it feel like RuPaul's Drag Race at some point?
Not my one personally, but a bit of that on Friday, yeah.
Oh, man, that must have been stressful. Are you feeling a little bit better now that you've handed your shit in?
Yeah, I mean, it's stressful, but also I love it, so it's... I mean, it's just absorbed my life in a good way, you know, like, but definitely since it's been done, I feel a lot more free, can do stuff and go to gigs again, can just do nothing again.
Shake ass at Karen.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Exactly.
Was there any creative prompt you all were given for this runway or for the project?
So this brief is kind of our first one that is extremely open. We're supposed to write our own brief. I found that quite challenging at the start because at least how I approach designing, it's very much something that comes from an abstract place that kind of comes through the process instead of something I define at the start and then design from that. Mm. So, yeah, my concept very much came from what I made and my research and all that. Do you want to get into specifics of LA?
Yeah, no, I'm getting into that in a second, but are you more of a person who needs a bit of direction to do things? Or is that another reason why the making your own brief was a bit tricky?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. I think that's just kind of, not to get too deep, but that's kind of how the education system is set up.
The Matrix, man. No, I totally agree, though. You know,
you're told what to do, and then you're trying to match their expectations. So, getting a blank slate for this project really challenged me to change how I think about approaching this kind of thing, and it was really good. I had a lot of learning in this project. Yeah,
nice, man. Well, yeah, for your collection, under your fashion line Dimmock, you've created, or Dimmock,
Dimmock, you got it right.
That.
Yeah, Yeah.
You've done a collection titled New Patina, and for this you reworked early 20th century menswear working clothes at the time. Probably giving like, 1920s, 1930s kind of vibes. When you were researching this, were there a lot of garments you found that were surprising you? Or was most of it like, oh, yes?
Well, one of the big things that got me excited about this concept, it seems very simple, but the fact that suits, like a two-piece suit, was worn for hard labour a long time around the 1920s, which you wouldn't think about, and how it's kind of progressed into the complete opposite of that. So that was really, really interesting to me, and that kind of kicked it off. And then from that, other things that were interesting. Yeah, I mean, the details is what you see in vintage pieces. It was kind of before there were any real standard ways of doing like a collar, for example. So there's like a million different collar shapes and sizes from that time when people were really just trying stuff out at a bigger manufacturing level rather than just on an individual
more local
label. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I guess there's a lot of impact of industrialization on the process of design and creating clothes.
Yeah, yeah, totally. That's a big, big thing. Big concept. I mean, yeah, there's wide-reaching impacts from the Industrial Revolution, man.
Yeah, like, man.
Mass production. They put us on a downward...
Getting some what is it? Not proto anarchist, eco anarchist. Go back to monkey. That's the vibe.
Yeah.
Better. It's real cool. I mean, I've seen the photos. You got some real cool looking trench coats.
Yeah.
And what are the hats? Because they're looking kind of like a cheese cutter, but cooler.
Yeah. So that's based on, they're called a newsboy or a baker boy hat. Very much Peaky Blinders.
I was gonna make a joke about Peaky Blinders.
Yeah. No. You won't be the first. Yeah. So that's kind of, I mean, back then everyone was wearing hats. It was abnormal not to wear a hat. And like this kind of hat is just something I saw in... So one of my other main inspirations was these photographs by Dorothea Lange and August Sander, who two separate practices of photography. One, August Sander is based in Germany and Dorothea Lange was in America. And Lange shot mostly in America. She shot during the Great Depression. So lots of working class people and... all wearing these hats, not all of them, but you know, all wearing a hat, and this hat really stood out to me. It's really something that's, it looks great as well. I made them a bit oversized, so they're quite...
Yeah, they give like 80s rapper vibes.
Yeah, you turn it backwards, you cool,
Oh, man. I guess the working clothes, were you focused on working clothes from, like, Europe, America, England?
Yeah, so all it's, over? I mean, my influences being from kind of, America and Europe, it kind of became a combination. So from the Dorothea Lange's ones in America were what initially captivated me, and then I looked kind of past that to other working clothes from mainly America, is where a lot of it was being produced, in France as well. Germany had some really interesting stuff, and August Sander's photos are some things that you... I don't know. It's these things that are like, you look at them and you can see how these are archetypes for what the standards are today, but you wouldn't, no one traces it back to that in their heads. It's a weird way of explaining that.
No, that's true. I don't know, where does the denim jackets come into it? Because I've seen some real steezy shots of some boys in denim jackets.
It's that denim jacket, I'm very happy with it.
Is that a working class thing?
Yeah, I mean, denim is one of the... like
working class materials.
It's one of the iconic ones, and I mean, blue jeans, how they've become so prolific now, but were really just a workwear piece back then. So denim was just one of my materials that I really wanted to work with. I used a 25 ounce, which I don't know if you know about denim weights, but that's definitely up there. Like normal jeans you'd buy are maybe 15 or 18 ounces.
Oh, damn.
And then so this was really thick denim. It's really lovely.
Nice.
So as to when they're coming out, as soon as I can.
Hell,
which maybe not for a while.
You don't want to take a wee break in between things, right?
Yeah.
There's an emphasis on sustainability in this runway. How do you think that came through for your work?
So in my collection, one of the main ways that I've kind of learned to implements sustainability is with natural fibers. So that's like cotton and wool and linen. Silk is another one. I didn't end up using that, but so my collection is entirely natural fibers, other than some viscose in the suiting. And then for the and like collars and cuffs on shirts and jackets, they have fusible interfacing, which just kind of makes it a bit sturdier, a bit more structured. So I sourced some. That's typically made of a polyester or a synthetic glue. So you kind of iron it on and it glues on. Right. So I sourced a sustainable version that's cotton backed and then has a biopolymer adhesive, which sounds great. And then a bit of elastic as well. That's natural rubber and cotton. So it's like sourcing those things that are typically overlooked in a sustainable manner. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, awesome! So you really went down to every detail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, another thing, if I may, that I want to give a shout out to.
Of course.
I want to give a shout out to my pops who gave me a drop cloth. He's been a painter for most of his life, like commercial painter. They gave me this drop cloth that's covered in this beautiful array of stains and like paint marks and stuff. So I used that in three of the garments, and that really has that like visual wear from its lifetime that you can see. It tells a story, and that's something that textile already has, but that I want my garments to be built and designed to be versatile and durable, so that eventually they'll take on that themselves. And that's where the name, because patina is that visual wear that makes something more beautiful.
Yeah,
it's where the name of the collection comes from.
Yeah, man, that's really special. That's very, very concise.
Yes,
I love it. It seems like you've made a press release with this whole thing.
I wish I had.
No, that was fantastic. And I guess to accompany this, you've also chosen Tom Waits as a request for us this morning.
Of course.
Was he helping you discover that working class element within yourself?
He's definitely kind of a muse. Mm-hmm. Once I've listened to his whole discography as soundtracking my sewing. I was going to choose one of his songs for the runway, but I couldn't find one that suited it. But the vibes are definitely there.
Yeah, man.
Waits is an icon.
Favorite album from him?
I really like Bone Machine, which is kind of when he swapped to like the more off the wall stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, the song that you're going to play, Burma Shave, is from.
What is it from? It is from Foreign Affairs.
Is like his more jazzy album. So I mean, he is just, it's great because you can listen to his albums individually, and it's they're very different experiences.
Yeah, totally.
It's very immersive, which is something that I hope to have in my own collection. So that aspect of his work is inspiring to me as well.
Mm-hmm. Now I similarly like one of his other jazzy albums, Small Change, which is more like piano kind of double bass driven. Really, really beautiful stuff there. Looking forward to playing that track very shortly. But the collections show is available. It's available this Friday from 7 to 10:30. You can find tickets at humanitix.com. Just Google, I guess. I mean, I googled collections 2024 Polytech. Google 2024 Polytech fashion show and you'll find some resources.
I believe there's still a few available. Get in quick. Yeah.
How many runways is this for you?
How many have you done?
Yeah.
Only kind of been a part of two or three. This is maybe my third or fourth.
Whoa.
So I did the New Life show in Wellington a couple of years ago. And what else? I mean, I was a part of the Zonta show. The great thing about the collection show is it also has year one and two work as well, so that kind of is featured before our grand finale of the year three work at the end. Mm-hmm. So also being a part of those in a way. Yeah.
Yeah, that's sick. What happens to postgrad work? Does that just
postgrad?
Yeah, do they students? Do their
own? They're involved as well. Tegan Vickery this year had her own runway show in the mall. I don't know if you saw about that.
Whoa.
So that's really great. Just like bringing the wider fashion community in Aotearoa, this new generation, to the forefront. I think that's what is really important with this show. That's what people come to see, is you get an opportunity to celebrate and then support this next generation of graduates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really, really awesome stuff. I feel like that kind of vibe, that energy, was also reinforced earlier in the year by, as we watched the world go by,
of course,
organized by two kings, literal king, and Mr. Ethan Cruz.
Well, also James Warrender.
James Warrender and Finn. Yeah, there you go.
The quad.
The terrible the quadrant.
That's what they call themselves.
The queasy...
Queasy quadrant.
Queasy quadrant.
Yeah, no,
awesome,
so
awesome. You can go with that.
Oh, yeah,
easy.
You could.
It's kind of weird, though.
I don't know what they do.
No, this is private life. They're private life.
But yeah, that's another great example of this next generation taking things into their own hands, because there's a... New Zealand fashion's pretty open, but there is definitely that... pressure and kind of that scary hierarchy when you come into it. The people that are above you, it's kind of hard to break into. But I think it's really inspiring that other people... I mean, this is the Art Ahua show in Auckland. That was another independently organized response to New Zealand Fashion Week. And then, of course, New Zealand Fashion Week is happening next year, and so is ID. Show is happening at the start of next year. And they have the emerging designer section, which is always... incredibly inspiring. Get overseas designers and local designers showcasing their graduate collections or small collections that, yeah.
Are you going to do some stuff for ID Fashion Week?
I've applied, so I'll keep posted.
Best of luck with that. Thank you for coming on, man.
No, thank you for having me.
Thank you, folks.
It's been awesome.
That was Kieran Naylor on the program. If you want to go see the fashion show, the Polytech Fashion Show, go to it on Friday, 7 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. at the Hub. You can buy tickets at Humanitix. It's a good time. Here is Tom Waits with Burma Shave, as requested by Karen. You're listening to The One. Keep it real.
Seeds, that was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.